Welcome to Words of Grace Audio, where we clarify, amplify, and apply issues raised in the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, other topics are addressed. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life. Today is Tuesday, August 19th, and Scott and I are here for Words of Grace.
Yes.
I'm Jeff Burke.
Good to see you, Jeff.
Good to see you.
Oh, a wonderful Sunday. Thanks for the way you led the singing part of our worship service on Sunday, Jeff. The songs were really connected to not only the sermon, but just connected our hearts to the Lord. It was a beautiful day, and I really appreciate your leadership.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We delved back into the 1970s there with Humble Thyself,
That's right.
Got to bring him back sometimes.
Yeah. The nice thing is that all these younger people, they don't remember it.
Right. What a great new song.
Yeah, I love that.
So we talked on Sunday about a pretty specific subject that came up in Hebrews 13, which was leaders of the church as a whole and leaders of local congregations.
Yeah, I started out with listing some of the leaders in my early church life who taught me the Word of God and modeled a faith for me, which is how Hebrews 13, verse 7 states it. Remember your leaders, those who spoke the Word of God to you, and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Mm-hmm. So I started by listing some of the leaders in my life who did that for me. So before we get any further, let me reverse this and ask you, Jeff, maybe a way that you imitated the faith of a mentor or a discipler, a leader, a pastor in your life that's helped you.
Yeah, I remember, certainly you've been one because I've been here for 20 years.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
You grew up here then.
I did, pretty much.
I don't think you were shaving when you came, and now you have a full
beard. Oh, man, I was. Yeah, right. Exactly. No, I wasn't shaving at all. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. 18. I was an 18-year-old. Before I came here, there were a couple of men who, from a musical standpoint, really poured into me in my church in South Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing for me was you mentioned this as well. We were talking earlier about Dave Busby, who was influential in your life, that you just had this feeling of you were accepted.
Yeah.
And so there was a sense of belief in me that brought out a response of I can do more than I think I thought I could. And so I was up in front of middle schoolers as a ninth grader leading worship.
Yeah.
You know, so that kind of belief caused me to look at these guys and say, all right, you just tell me whatever you want to tell me.
Yeah.
And I'll do the best I can to help you with what you're doing.
Yeah.
And,
that's powerful. You know, that's exactly the way I felt. I'm glad you raised that. I'll just make another comment about my mentor, Dave Busby, in that respect he believed I could do things that I didn't believe I could do and had that ability to pull it out. Mm-hmm. That was great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good.
So what do leaders do? I mean, that's part of this, but as a whole, I think you termed it as leaders serve.
Yeah. Yeah. I really think that's it. I think it's a simple way that some people would say is simplistic. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's simplistic at all. I am a leader and I try to serve, and I want you to know that to serve people well for the good of the person and the good of the whole, in our case a congregation, can be very complex and extremely challenging with a lot of different levels of challenge and joy and difficulty. So I don't mean to be simplistic, but I will say, to sum it up, I think that's exactly what leaders do. Leaders are here to serve. That's what Jesus said that leaders do. The greatest among you is the servant of all, the Son of Man. Jesus himself did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for us, a ransom for us, to redeem us from our sin. Leaders serve. And we were talking about congregational leaders Sunday in the text, because obviously we're a church, we're reading the Bible here, and it says the leaders spoke the Word of God.
Right.
That's a service, and it's a submission, which means the leaders submitted themselves to the Word of God and didn't speak their own word.
Right.
they spoke God's word, mm-hmm. and that they had a way of life that could be imitated, mm-hmm. because they lived by faith. Mm-hmm. And then another part of Hebrews 13, verse 17, says that they watched over people's souls. Mm-hmm. So all those
shepherding,
yeah, they cared for people. They talked to them about their lives, about sin, about grace, mm-hmm. about holiness, about restoration to God, about the way to love. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they watched over people who might be making some really poor choices in their life, mm-hmm. and they went to them and they would warn them and encourage them and love them enough to win them back. People maybe who got discouraged in their faith.
Just as this writer of Hebrews is doing for this group of people.
Exactly. And he is one of their leaders, yeah.
Right.
He says later he wants to be restored to them. And that means this writer of Hebrews is one of the servant leaders of this congregation specific, calling them not to stray away from Jesus.
Yeah. Now, as a leader, certainly you can't have perfect motivations.
Right.
And you want to serve as much as possible, but I'm sure that that's constantly a battle.
It is.
You know, to have that be the forefront, the first reason that you would choose to do something as a pastor of, of this church. So what's that like for you in trying to make the right decisions or the right calls or, you know, even casting the right vision for the church? How do you center yourself to where you're sure enough that the next step you're going to take is the right one to serve the congregation? Is there any kind of process that you go through? Or
some things are very clear,
because
they're told to me in the Bible. Let's take the decision on preaching. You and I were talking about that before we started this podcast. The decision on preaching. It's not difficult for me to decide the best way to serve the congregation in preaching, because the Bible tells me how I'm supposed to preach. I'm supposed to preach the Word of God.
Yeah.
So the difficulty is in submitting to that. Not because sometimes if I'm at a tough text, and I think I'd rather skip over this and preach on something that seems more exciting or relevant or whatever. So I have to submit to what the Bible says and preach it rather than preach my own message.
Right.
But deciding it or knowing the best way to serve is not that hard because it tells me. But then there are those times when I don't have a clear way of leading.
Right.
And those are more challenging in terms of checking my motive and make sure I'm not doing what I'm doing out of self-protection, but out of really what's good for the congregation. And I have to tell you that, you know, I'm not on autopilot there. In other words, I still really have to check my motive and have to pray through that and think through it and get in touch with, am I leading out of fear?
Yeah.
Or am I leading out of love for the congregation?
Yeah, that's good.
And so it's just a regular checking in with my motives. And,
and with the elders, as you talked about on Sunday, I really appreciated you going into the dynamic there. What does it mean for you to be in submission to them?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
you're not alone in this.
That's right.
You know, pastoral role.
That's right.
I mean, as pastor, you are, but as a shepherder of this congregation, you're not alone.
Not alone at all. And you know, to go further with that description of what an elders' meeting might look like, you know, it wouldn't. And I hope I didn't portray this on Sunday that it would look like, you know, I say something and they say, "No, Scott, that's not the way we're going to do it." It doesn't work like that.
Sure.
It's that as we're talking, I may say something and I may get, somebody else may say something in response that gently challenges my motivation and says, you know, that even if they don't know they're doing it, they'll say, now, you know, another way of looking at this is we need to approach this person or this situation in this way. And I stop and go, wow, you're right. I was going down another track because of whatever, self-protection, my need to be proven to be right, you know, those kinds of motivations. And I get, you know, I can get corrected by that. It's beautiful. It's the way God intended it to be, that we don't serve alone.
Right.
That also, I guess, to answer your first question related to this, is that's how you decide what's the best way to serve. You do it in consultation.
Yeah.
And in the cooperation, the teamwork of a plurality of elders, more than one elder, an elder team. And that kind of helps us serve well too.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So the other side of this is that the mm-hmm. congregation has to respond mm-hmm. to their leaders.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is just to receive what you said on Sunday, is to receive their leadership, mm-hmm. their service
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
You'd think that would be something that would be easy to do.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's complex as well.
Yeah.
Because humans are humans and we don't like to submit to anybody.
Right.
Yeah. Do our own thing. But mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. yeah. So how does a congregation rightfully submit to leadership?
Yeah.
And receive well.
Mm-hmm. So in the context of Hebrews 13, it says that speaking to the congregation is to obey its leaders and submit to them because they're keeping watch over their souls and because mm-hmm. they're going to give an account to God for their leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So congregations, and I include leaders in that. So maybe I should clarify.
Okay.
When we say leaders in congregations, we're not saying two distinct groups. We're saying there's one congregation with leaders within it.
Yep.
And even the leaders within the congregation have a submission
right.
to other leaders and to other people in the congregation who may speak into their lives.
Yeah,
so that's the way it works. But mm-hmm. in this case, the congregation submitting to their leaders means they receive this service of delivering the word of God to them. They cooperate with it by not only hearing it, but letting it do its work in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they receive this service of the leadership modeling faith for them and watching over their souls.
Mm-hmm.
So very practically, if a congregational member is doing something that is not in keeping with the gospel,
mm-hmm.
that means their life, or their behavior, their decision-making is not in keeping with the fact that they've been saved by God's grace and called by God to be a part of God's family and to love the church and to love the Lord and live a holy life.
Mm-hmm.
And the leadership of the church comes to that person and says, brother or sister, whomever is here to remind you that God loves you and that you're saved by grace, you're a child of God, and to call you to a life that is consistent with that.
Mm-hmm.
Submission is to receive that word.
Mm-hmm.
This is Proverbs. Proverbs is all about this. Receive yeah. wise instruction.
Yeah.
To receive it and to say, you're right. Mm. And to not be defensive and to not get angry and to not say, you're judging me, but to say, you're right. If I keep walking in this way, I'm walking out of step with the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to heed your watch care over my soul, your words to me, your love for me, receive it, and I'm going to repent and ask you to help me correct my steps
mm-hmm.
and walk in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
That is so much more of a beautiful concept to me
yeah.
than some blind, naked obedience.
Right.
You know, yeah.
yeah.
I don't know where I got blind
humility.
And naked. Why do blind and naked go together? I don't know where that came from. Sorry. But anyway, blind obedience. I don't know where.
Blind obedience.
Yeah.
Naked obedience.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Anyway.
We'll move on to the next subject, the next question. So when is it appropriate for a congregation or a church member to not
mm-hmm.
submit, as you say, blindly? I won't go to the other description.
Yeah, yeah.
Of a leader, you know, the authority of a leader.
Mm-hmm. Leaders are human.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders are not infallible. Leaders are not irreplaceable. And so if a leader or leaders of a congregation begin to not teach the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
begin to try to lead congregations in ways that are inconsistent with the gospel,
mm-hmm.
if they do become very self-centered and self-motivated and start to abuse their power,
mm-hmm.
If they overstep their bounds and they start to become controlling of people where the Bible's not allowing them
right.
to go.
Some of the secondary issues like
yeah.
you talked about on Sunday.
Then certainly congregation members should say to their leaders, brother, I think that you are overstepping your bounds, or I think mm-hmm. that you are not in keeping with the scripture and the gospel. And And I think it's appropriate for church members to say to leaders, I've been watching you and hearing you, mm-hmm. and I really want to ask you to check your heart and to see if there's not some pride and arrogance wrapped up in this. We got to do it gently.
Sure.
But I think congregations can do that. And so the first thing I'm saying would say is appeal okay. to leadership.
Right.
If the leadership does not heed the appeal and things begin to go in the wrong direction, mm-hmm. I think it's entirely appropriate for congregations in more of a group setting mm-hmm. to say, we're going to come and appeal to you again in the appropriate way, in the spirit of love, mm-hmm. With the right systems in place. We're going to come and we're going to appeal to you. Mm-hmm. Where they have opportunity, they may have to remove some leadership. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be a process in place for
right.
leaders to be removed from congregations. Yeah. This idea of a leader having absolute authority, one leader, and people can't remove him is not good.
No.
It could be that it requires congregational members to leave the congregation
right.
if they cannot have influence on the leadership coming back to where they need to be according to the scripture with the right motivations and that sort of thing, using yeah. their power for service.
Right.
Someone may have to leave a congregation.
Yeah.
And pray and then quickly go to another congregation where they can test and trust the leadership there.
Right.
Because it is not right to say that because leaders can go wrong that there's no need for leaders. That's not correct.
Oh, and where would we be?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But there seems to be that the common thread is a humility on both ends. Mm-hmm. You know, the leaders lead with humility. Mm-hmm. Congregations receive mm-hmm. with humility whatever mm-hmm. is brought to them. So.
In desiring for all of us, leaders, congregation, there's a lot of overlap there, mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. desiring that all of us walk by faith, live mm-hmm. by faith, mm-hmm. And glorify God as the church. Mm-hmm. That's the driving goal here, driving mm-hmm. vision.
Okay.
Yeah.
One more week in Hebrews.
That's right. I can't believe it. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a good study.
It has been. Thanks.
Yep. Now my best thought.